This is Crowbar, and you're listening to the ROH Review.
Hello, and welcome to ROH Review Interviews. I'm your host, three-time pro wrestling author, Oliver Newman. And unfortunately, yet again, my co-host, Stephen Jackson, isn't here today. But I am delighted to be joined by the man who was too modest in the promo he recently cut. Wrestling legend, in my eyes, royalty. From WCW days. Crowbar. Hello, Crowbar. How are you doing today?
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me on. Much appreciated. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Looking at the ROH work you've done and then thinking about your legendary career, and I said it off air, but I'm going to say it so it's recorded. We need to have you on the main podcast, Broken But Glorious Wrestling. Absolutely. That has to happen down the road. But unfortunately,
not that I have the Skype app downloaded. We can do it.
So, yeah, because this is a Ring of Honor review kind of podcast show, we have to concentrate on Ring of Honor, which is unfortunate because you've had such a long and illustrious career. But, this is just for me, and I probably will ask it again on the main show, but my first ever live show you was part of with Norman Smiley in a tables match. And This happened in Birmingham, England, in the World Wrestling All-Stars. I'm hoping that you remember this.
Absolutely.
This was 2001, December 1st, 2001.
Wow. First of all, I love Norman. You could ask everybody in the wrestling business, anybody. You will not find one person that has a bad thing to say about Norman Smiley. And if you do, it's probably their fault. He's a nice, and I love Norman. We still keep in touch. When I go down to Disney with my family to Orlando, Florida, we always try to hook up whenever we can. I love Norman. So that loop, World Wrestling All-Stars happened after WCW. It featured former WCW guys, former WWE guys, former ECW guys, and me and Norman were married the entire loop throughout Europe, the United Kingdom and stuff. And I love Norman. It was so great. And was that the show where his dad managed him or no? No. That was a pay-per-view, I think, right? Or
this
no?
was... No, I don't think there was... This was the pay-per-view. It was the house show.
Okay.
I remember like thinking this was probably going to be taped for something because they did live commentary.
Did he have a manager or no?
I don't think he did, no.
Okay. There was one show, and I'll get back to this. There was one show in England where, was that Wembley? I think it was, or like the arena where they have there. And he was managed by his dad, which was a big deal to him. His dad came out, got a big pop, and it was, we still talk about how funny this story was. His dad was so nice. So cool. We're discussing our match, and his dad is in the back. He goes, "We got to do this right so it looks right." I was like, Norman's like, "Dad, we know." So his dad's telling us, "It got to look right." So we come up with a spot where I put his dad on a table, like I'm going to jump through the table. And of course, Norman saves him. The match goes off as it did every other night. You know, it was fun. It was a fun hardcore match.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, Norman pins me, and his dad is in the ring. And during the match, Norman smashed a garbage can on me. So the can folded up. It had a jagged, sharp edge, like when you smash it. And his dad picks up the can, and he's coming at me. And the jagged edge is, look, I'm still selling the finish. And I'm down on the ground, and I see this sharp edge of the garbage coming right behind. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm dead. And all of a sudden, I hear verbatim, don't do that, Dad. You're going to kill him. And Norman, at the last second, grabs the garbage can and probably saves me from being gashed apart. We still talk about it. His dad just got caught up in that moment. And I was selling Norman's finish. And all of a sudden, I look up, and I see the sharp edge of the folded up garbage coming right for me. And I'm like, oh, I'm dead. This is going to get me. And don't do that, Dad. You're going to kill him. And he grabbed it at the last split second. And that was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you remember that match in specifically in Birmingham?
Or is that the double tables or no?
I've got it this tables match.
Yeah.
It was so long ago for myself as well. We're looking at 19 years.
Yeah. We did a lot of tables match and hardcore tag matches, that whole loop. They were all a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was just a really great time. It was really cool.
Yeah, completely off topic, but I had to ask you because it's my first show. And in terms of Norman Smiley, if anyone has a bad word against him, why is he a trainer in NXT?
He's great.
Exactly.
Norman knows his stuff. Yep.
So, yeah, bringing it forward, I had to ask that question. To your ROH like fandom, kind of knowing about the product, was it somewhere you thought, I'd like to wrestle there if I can?
It's always like, I'm always up to go different places, especially after WCW. You know, I did a whole bunch of like indies here and there, and it's always more fun. It's always more enjoyable to do it on a bigger level. So I always kind of kept track of the product. Intermittently, we would get it on our TV, and other times we wouldn't. So I was aware of it. I knew it was a growing product way back when, but from time to time, I'd have a cable system that would carry it, and other times not. But I was aware of that product, and I knew of the emphasis on, you know, really good wrestling and, you know, intense action and guys working hard. So I always admired the product and what it stood for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then obviously you coming into the company. So you came into the company by wrestling Steve Corino in a dark match, as we talked about off air. How did this come to be?
An unscheduled dark match. So it's such a great story. And I was just talking about it last week with somebody that was really funny. I was brought in, and they told me I would wrestle Christopher Daniels, which happened that night.
Yep.
But
don't read my notes. That's the next question.
But that was the intent that night. That was the match.
Yeah.
That's what I was brought in to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we were backstage getting ready for the match, getting changed, and we're discussing our match, me and Chris Daniels. And I guess something happened with the production truck or however they were recording the show, it just stopped working. So they stopped wrestling. So the show came to a screeching halt. And you're in you're in Philadelphia, where that crowd doesn't want your if your show comes to a screeching halt, you're going to hear it. They're going to become very angry and very obnoxious and go crazy.
Yeah.
And Jim Cornette was actually the one that brought me in that time. And he's done so much for me my entire career, from the independents to bringing me in for the WWE light heavyweight division, and me and Ace Darling in the WWE to do some tag team work.
Mm-hmm.
So this big thing is going on where they can't record, the equipment's down, the people in the crowd are getting totally restless, and it's a panic situation. And all of a sudden I hear, can I curse or no? Yes, right or no?
Danhausen might be paying attention.
All of a sudden I hear, well, goddamn, F, blah, blah, he goes, get me Devin Storm. Where the hell's Devin Storm? Steve Corino, get the F out there. Just to freaking do something. And our match, we discussed nothing. We threw on our tights and just made this up on the fly just to occupy the crowd there in attendance, to try to keep them occupied while they fix the equipment.
That's a brilliant story.
I heard Jim Corino flipping out. Get me Devin Storm, Steve Corino, get the F out there. And just, it was so funny.
You can swear, but Danhausen always pays attention. You don't like swearing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just met him for the first time. I'm a huge fan of his stuff. And
he's brilliant, isn't he?
He was saying stuff to me outside the Battle Royal at like the last thing, and I had to do everything not to laugh at. He's so unique, and I told him, I really don't know what your gimmick is, but it's great. I go, yeah. You put teeth in people's mouths. Are you a vampire? You can't swear. Yet you're nice and you're funny. I go, I have no idea exactly what it is, but it's frigging great. And I'm a big fan of his stuff.
He's very nice and very evil at the same time, which is,
And just a bit of a contradiction. And he could work. You know, he could wrestle. He's great.
He's good. He's really good. And then, like you mentioned before, because you've been reading off my notes, the match you were scheduled for was for the ROH World Championship, and you wrestled Christopher Daniels for that.
TV Championship, I think. No?
Was it?
I think TV Championship. It wasn't the main title.
A Championship. I might have forgot to
it
put
was
TV.
For a belt.
Yeah, it was for a belt. That's it.
For a belt.
Yeah. So, what was it like wrestling Christopher Daniels?
I knew Chris from the Independence, and also prior to being signed with WCW, me, him, and Steve Carino were all part of a Dory Funk dojo for WWE. And I thought we all did really, really well there, and none of us got signed. So we referred to ourselves amongst the three of us as the unsigned three. Everybody else from that class got picked up except the three of us. So we had a little clique called the Unsigned Three. So it was great to get to go there. He was clearly the company guy with the belt. I was a newcomer coming in for a one-off, and he really helped me. He allowed me to shine and look good while still getting myself over. So it was really good, a real good experience. And I love Chris. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite wrestlers, definitely. So next up was another dart match, this time against Antonio Thomas. And if my memory serves me correctly, he was part of the Heartthrobs in WWE.
I think so, yeah.
What was this experience like? What was it like wrestling him?
It was good. It was just, we went out there for a dark match to look decent, but it was still dark. We were told not to do too much. There was still a whole show in front of us.
Yeah.
So we went out there, had a solid match, and that was it. It was good. It was a real good experience, but nothing, it never aired. I've never seen like video or anything of it. So from what I remember, it was good.
It's in the vaults.
Yeah.
Of the Ring of Honor. Yeah. And considering like you're wrestling dark matches as much as you're wrestling on TV, what was the experience like just wrestling a dark match for Ring of Honor?
It's great. I love whether it's dark, going TV. I just love wrestling, period. Love it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say that's not a professional thing to say. You show your cards. I don't care. I love wrestling. I love effing wrestling. It's great. Dark, light, whatever. And it's, just being at a larger venue, it's just a lot more fun. I think it brings out the better in you. It makes you a sharper performer when there's cameras there and there's a light. You see that red light, you're being filmed. I think it brings out the best of you as a performer.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to an independent show, I work very hard at all the independent shows, but I just feel like I'm sharper and more on. When you're out there, you have the bright lights, you have the camera going. I think it just makes you better.
Yeah. And then coming up to like almost present day. So wrestling in Philadelphia at the TV tapings on Final Battle Fallout against Eli Isom with Mrs. Crowbar and what we have and said on the review, Guy, because we're not
big
quite
guy.
Sure. Big dude.
I'll give you the background
experience.
First.
Yeah,
so this is Crowbar is legitimately my wife. We met after WCW. She was on Independence. I met her at a show. Had I got picked up by WWE after WCW, we would have never met. So it was God's plan. And I love my wife, kids, and we're both in healthcare. We own our own healthcare facility, and wrestling is just something we share and love together, that we still do. So we've kind of had this idea of this Venetian mask wearing, eyes wide shutty kind of Rico thing, going back to probably 2005, in some way, shape, or form, we did it twice for Wildcat Wrestling of Luke Hawks' group.
Yeah, yeah.
And he really let us run with it. The big guy is a very unique story. About 4 years ago, I was at my healthcare facility. I'm a physical therapist. Mm-hmm. The door opens up, and I'm on the floor working on a patient. And this gigantic dude walks through my door, and he signs in at the front desk, and he's in. He has an elbow tendonitis. Comes in. Turns out he's a big wrestling fan. Oh, shit, your crowbar, blah, blah, blah. So I'm working on him week after week, and we have a great friendship forming. He's a Middle East Army veteran, great guy, just a really good dude, but he loves wrestling, and he was interested in getting involved, not quite sure how.
Yeah.
So a few towns away, there was a wrestling school. I referred him there. I helped out with stuff, yada, yada, yada. 4 years later, the big guy is now our... We're really not sure of his exact title.
Big scary dude.
Bodyguard, yeah. Manservant, or attendant. But his name is Percival Payne, is actually his name.
Okay, that's pretty good. I like that name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just great, you know, and it's really good that we've had this idea for so long to have the opportunity to actually bring it to life for like a TV show and a company. It was really great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you shared all this stuff on social media, and the videos were fantastic.
Thank you.
So yeah, really, intrigued by this character and gimmick and stuff. I think it should be really cool to
see.
It's a
takeoff of reality. I helped develop it with Kevin Eck from ROH Creative. It's kind of a Jekyll Hyde thing, you know, like in real life, I go to work. I'm a physical therapist. I have two kids, which are in the video. My wife is a registered dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a very normal life. We go to work. We have a healthcare facility. Our kids are in sports. We go to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're homebodies for the most part. Yet we love wrestling and get involved in wrestling and stuff like that. And a few months before we shot those videos, I had a patient that had gone to an independent show and let they go, "Chris, it's crazy. We're in here. You're our therapist and you're so professional and yada, yada, yada. And we went to see you at this and you're an animal. It's like Jekyll and Hyde."
Yeah.
So we kind of morphed that into this character, which is inspired by our real life kind of. And then we just put an amplifier on it where it's a calm guy that could be a complete nut, yet there's these masks. Are these guys some kind of deviants or something? What's going on? So you got these people that look normal, but it's that. And it's kind of real life with a huge amplifier on it. So it's like it feels like home.
And yeah, you mentioned this a little bit earlier when you were talking about how much you like Danhausen. But what was it like being part of the ROH World Title number one contender Battle Royal at Free Enterprise?
Battle Royals are a lot of fun. Usually it's hard to make them good. I think they did a great job at actually pulling off spots in there where a lot of times you'll just see a whole bunch of bodies just punching and kicking and stomping. And it is what it is. However they laid it out just made sense. And it was a lot of fun, you know, big time.
Yeah. They're not a lot of fun for a writer to cover. I can tell you that for a fact.
What's going on, right?
Yeah, way too much going on. And what did you think about Flip Gordon when he was dressed as Dragon Lee? Did the wrestlers
awesome.
Like
I think
that?
It was great. I don't think a lot of people caught on that it was him at all, so it was a really good surprise, you know.
It was amazing. Yeah, and I've got a question from my co-host who isn't here. And he says, are you looking forward to wrestling more with ROH in 2020?
We'll see what comes. They know my situation. I have a healthcare facility. That's my main source of income. I love wrestling when I can. But ultimately, my main focus is my business. And I'm lucky enough to where I have that, and I can literally go out and literally enjoy wrestling, love wrestling, and perform when I want to. You know, there's there was some stuff talked about before the first show. We actually, the actual first plan was for me to wrestle PCO at Uncensored, and then Colt changed that around, which is great. I love Dan Moff. I'm psyched that he got that chance, and he's there doing awesome now. He's killing it. But I would look very forward to a chance to rip that place up, tear it up with PCO at least once. I think we can do some really cool stuff, some really innovative, hardcore, wild, different stuff, I think. And I think the fans would like it a lot.
Yeah, I don't think you can be any different than the way PCO wrestles. And I think it'd be right up your alley. So, yeah, with this being an ROH-centric interview, we've kind of come to the end. The shortest interview I've ever done with the guy with one of the longest careers. Yeah, definitely get you on the main show in the future. That has to happen.
That'd be great.
But yeah, is there anything you'd like to plug? Any social media or anything you'd like to tell the fans about?
On Twitter, I'm at WCW Crowbar, and that's really main where I'm at. I'm on and off in there. You know, whenever I could sign on between work and stuff. I'll throw some posts up here and there. I'm not the most exciting poster, but I try.
That's how this interview came to be, ladies and gentlemen. So I would recommend you follow Crowbar and WCW Crowbar Twitter. And yeah, like I said, you've had an incredible career, and we thank you for all the blood, sweat, tears, sacrifices you've made. And yeah, definitely got to have you on the main show to talk about your full career. But until then,
thank you so much.
Thank you very much for joining me tonight.
All right, man. You have an awesome night.
Cheers.
Cheers, man.
We are extremely proud to be a part of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast team. They are our hosts, and we really appreciate it. So go follow them on Twitter at BBGW Wrestling and BBGWrestling.com. We have a partnership with Powerslam.tv, and they have over 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions. Use that on us for free for a month using the code BROKENFREE. To myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author. Firstly, Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. ROH is in this book, so that's the reason to buy it. I was at Unified in 2006. I was in the same hotel as ROH Wrestlers in 2007 and at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007 too. Second up is a book that I don't usually promote, but it has ROH alumni in it. It's a Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. If you want to find out what happened with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, etc., make sure you read this book. And lastly, Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008, and I took ROH alumni, my modern-day favorite wrestler, Paul London, to the main event and to the World Heavyweight title, and it's in this book. And then for all three books, are available on paperback and Kindle, and Kindle Limited for free. Signed via my Big Cartel, so contact me on a fansperspective.bigcartel.com, and that is fine and dandy. Lastly, our social media. So Twitter is at ROH Review. Instagram is at ROH Review. We now have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ROH Review 2019, because that's when we were established. YouTube is one of those funny things that we have to put in the description. And our email is rohreview@outlook.com. Comments, questions, feedback, send it our way via any of those social medias, and we will crack on with what you need to know. Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now. Bye.